Going to have a quick word of prayer. We're going to jump in. We're still in chapter 5. If you will, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray again that we would humble ourselves. We'd be reverent and in awe before you. We would see who we were and who you've made us because of your amazing grace, your love, because of your sacrifice. Your patience with us, your mercy, your forgiveness. We can't earn and we don't deserve, but you have poured it upon us. Your love, we thank you. Again, I ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. Pray that we would fall deeper in love with you and we'd be open to you. And I pray, Lord, that we would be changed because of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. And as iron sharpens iron, that we would continue to disciple and grow one another and stretch one another. And I pray that all of us would mature in you. Be solid in you, be a light for you, be an instrument in the palm of your hand. We ask it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Been working our way through 1 Timothy. I could have done a Memorial Day theme thing or a graduation theme thing and kind of thought of that, and actually we're staying where we were. We're going to talk about widows and working with widows. And I know that some people are like, what? It makes sense in the culture. We talked about that. The culture then was very different. They didn't have the government help. They didn't have life insurance. They didn't have, Medicaid, Medicare. They didn't have pensions, retirement. They didn't have it. And if the family wasn't helping them, especially if the oldest son already had the inheritance and they weren't helping, they didn't have. And maybe they didn't have much to begin with. And so you can see in the culture why they would really need help. But I'm sure that some people are like, but does that apply to today? I mean, we have pensions and health insurance or life insurance, or we have things today, right? I mean, is there a need today? Nicholas, some people call on their phone, but you can do all kinds of stuff. This is some statistics on widows. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 800,000 people are widowed each year in the United States. 800,000. Nearly 700,000 women lose their husbands each year and will be widows for an average of 14 years. There are 13.6 million widows in the United States. Over 11 million of the widows in the United States are women. So guys, I think you're picking up. We just don't have we just don't make it very long, apparently. Around the world, 245 million women around the world have been widowed, and more than 115 million of them live in devastating poverty. 115 million live in devastating poverty. I believe the church is called to take care of the widows and the orphans. Again, I'm going to say it, and I said it last week. I do not believe it's ever been the government's job. I believe it was the church's job. And I could tell you the different nations. The top one was China, then India, of course, but they have the people. Then the United States, it goes down through. Talk about all the different stressors, how hard it is on them, extremely hard. I'll just read one statistic on that. There's a bunch. It said this: the researchers at the University of Glasgow conducted a large study of more than 4,000 married couples ages 45 to 64 and found that widows and widowers had a 30% elevated risk of death in the first 6 months after their spouse had died because of the amount of stress and how hard it is on them. Just about done. Almost half the women over 65 years of age in the United States are widows. Almost half. About 7 in 10 of these women live alone. In recent years, the average American woman's expectant lifespan has increased to 80 or more. However, the societal systems in place for caring for the elderly have not changed at the same rapid pace, leaving many widows in poverty, even in the United States of America. And one Social Security Administration report shows that the past 30 or more years, the rate of poverty among elderly widows is consistently 3 to 4 times higher than elderly married women. 3 to 4 times higher if the spouse passes away, or the chances of being in poverty. What am I saying? Why did I just spend 5 minutes of your life reading statistics? Because it's still applicable for today, is it not? If you have your Bibles, we're in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. I'm going to start in verse 3. We are going to slow down in verse 9. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need, because some aren't in need, but the ones that really are in need, we're supposed to be there for. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, how to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. We talked about that. Take care of your family. We're called to do it. Right? We talked about not being the enablers, but we're called to take care of our family. The widow is really in need and left all alone, puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. All that really preaches. We did it last week, so I better not redo it this week, but there's a lot there. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. Verse 8 doesn't leave a lot of gray area. Not that any of it does, but it's right there. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I don't think there's a lot of wiggle room there. Again, we talked about not being enablers. You know, there's some situations, but we're called to be there for our family. We talked about putting our faith into action. We talked about, you know, in your family, that is a starting point, not an ending point, but that's where we're supposed to start. We're supposed to be there for them. It's not just in your family. It's not just in the church family. We're to provide. We're supposed to reach out. We're supposed to help people, believers or non-believers, but he said especially in the family of faith, in the family of believers, right? We're supposed to help them all, but especially in the church, and especially if it's your immediate family, you should be there to help them, not make the church do it. So that brings us to verse 9. There was a list. It was a list of widows that they were going to help. But there were some stipulations to be on that list, and that's what this is. And he lays it out. He said, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60. If she's not 60, she can't be on the list. Right? And has been faithful to her husband. Has been faithful to her marriage vows. She was moral and committed. So, she would have to be over 60 years old. She would have to be faithful to her husband. Not immoral, not running around, not doing things she shouldn't be doing, but faithful to her husband. And is well known for good deeds. So not only does she have to be old enough, not only does she need to be faithful to her husband, but she has to have had to put her faith into action. Not just for the church and not just for the family, but the widow herself needs to put faith in action. When I read this, that's just what rings to me. And I'm going to say it again at the end, but I believe as I read this, what I see is this. The church is called to put their faith in action. Family members are called to put their faith in action. And the widow is called to put her faith in action. She was supposed to have good deeds. Again, we're saved by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, but after you're saved by His grace, are we not called to be His children and act like it? She's supposed to have good deeds. Again, that, not working your way there, but looking like we're His, acting like we're His, helping those who need help. It said, well known for her good deeds. People know it. Such as bringing up children. Let's start with a hard one right there. That's a hard one. Raising children is not an easy task. Not for the faint of heart. I think it's to raise children in the Lord is hard. And you know, and I know that there have been kids raised in horrendous places who have done wonderful, and kids raised in wonderful places who have done horrible. We're not completely responsible for how your kids turn out, but to a degree, we are. I mean, they have to make their own choices. Again, I've seen them raised in great places and do horrible things, and raised in horrible places and do great things. But we are called to why we have them, instill what we can instill in them, to give them the base and a foundation that we can, to raise them for the Lord. And I believe that is partly by taking time and teaching and growing them, but that is also by being an example and living it for them. Right? Talk to me. Tell me where I'm wrong. I'm okay with that. Raising children isn't easy. And I believe it's very important. I again, to me, priorities should be God, should be your family, then the church, then everything else. And it's so easy to get our priorities mixed up. We have that men's group on Wednesday mornings, and it's very often that we talk about stuff like that, isn't it? Raising kids. And so one of the things that she needed to do to be on the list, of course, would be over 60. Be faithful to her husband, that her good deeds is well known, bringing up children, showing hospitality. Very often, the inns in that day were dirty, expensive, and immoral. I mean, you probably could find some like that today, but that's how the inns were then. So when people would come in, they had to be somebody that was hospitable, willing to open their home to them. Washing the feet of the saints. So showing hospitality, bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints. Now, some want to put that into like when we do love feasts, we wash feet. I believe that this is not like, I believe this is when she's showing hospitality to people, she's washing their feet. This is a servant's job. This is not something people lined up to do, but it was needed. Right? Walking in sandals all day on a dirty road, they get nasty. Right? They get nasty. So before you would relax that evening or come into somebody's house, you would wash your feet, and she would be willing to be humble. Have a humble heart. Be a servant. Washing the feet of the saints. Helping those in trouble. Don't have to look long and hard to find somebody in trouble, church. In fact, if you go back to the part where it talked about raising children, if she had children, they should be taking care of her. Some think that it also includes taking care of the orphans or taking care of, she would help take care of the people who didn't have anybody, the kids. She was hospitable and willing to help those in trouble and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds, faith in action. It preaches. Running out of time. I'm not going to hang here for long. She didn't just talk the talk, put on a good show one day a week. She lived it. That stipulation is to be on the list. Now we're going to go to those who can't be on the list. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. Don't do it. Don't put them on a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Right? As they pass through the stages of grieving, and not that it gets easy, but maybe they find somebody else and they want to get remarried, and not that there's any problem. Listen, as we go down through this, I'm going to say it up front. There's no problem with getting remarried. If you lose a spouse, it's okay to get remarried. There's no problem with that. He is not condemning that in any way. It is absolutely okay to get remarried if you lose a spouse. What he goes on to condemn here is the breaking of vows. Vows are important. Covenants are important. If you make a vow, if you make a covenant, we're called to stick to it. Your word should have some oomph behind it. Not to just manipulate to get your way. It should be, your word should be your bond, right? It should be like back in the day, your word was better than a piece of paper with your name written all over it. Because it meant something. It should mean something. As a Christian, our word should mean something. If you tell somebody you're going to do it, you should do it. Amen? As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. When their sensual desire overcomes their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. When, you know, they're called to be sold out to Him, and when they start to twist that, thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Don't know all the details. We really don't. Whether to be on that list, they had to just say that, you know, I'm going to be sold out for Jesus. He's top. Some would say that they had became deacons. I don't see where that is. But they're saying here in this section, that's where some of the commentaries were. I don't see that in here. What I see is this, that they made a pledge of some sort. And what he is worried about is them breaking their pledge. You know, it's very easy to make decisions based off of emotion. Listen to me. Not always, but very often, when we make decisions based in emotion, it's not always good. It's not always good. And you could see where you know, she had lost her spouse. She's grieving, hurting. She finds comfort in the Lord. She finds comfort in the church. She makes a pledge to the church to serve or to do whatever. And she makes this pledge. And then as time goes on and her emotions change, she wants to break that pledge to pour herself into something else. And again, he's not condemning being remarried. What he's condemning is the breaking of the pledge. Moving on. Besides that, they get into the habit of being idle. I don't know if you see it, but I don't think he's good on being idle. You know, at this point in their life, maybe there's a point that it's okay, but here I don't think it is. Have you ever heard the saying, idle hands are the devil's playground? Have you ever heard that saying? Listen, I believe there is a degree of correlation between idleness and immorality and sin. I was talking to someone once. I was actually at the jail talking to him. Somebody battled with addiction, drug addiction. And I asked this person, I said, you know, they had all kinds of time to talk, so we were just talking, right? They weren't going anywhere. And I said, what are your triggers? What triggers you? And they said to me, they said, it's when I get bored. Because when I'm bored, I start thinking about how to use my day. They think about how to get the money and where to get the drugs and where to use the drugs. They plan it. That's being bored, being idle, was one of the triggers. I'm not saying everybody that's idle is wrapped in, but idleness isn't always good, church. It's just not. It's not. Going on, because I'm running out of time. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going from house to house. Don't need to elaborate on that. You can figure it out, right? Going house to house. And not only do they become idlers, passing the time in a lazy, unproductive way. So they become idlers, but also gossips. Right? Conversation about others, not always true. Spreading rumors about other people and their business. But also gossips and busybodies. Meddlers, somebody, a prying person, they interfere. They can be mischievous. They can be troublemakers. Someone that's very interested in the private lives of others. They want to give advice to people that don't even want it. Busybodies. saying things they ought not to. You can figure it out. Listen, it's not the older women are great and the younger women are bad. That's not all. But he's saying there becomes a time sometimes where people become, when they have too much time, they start spending it. They just start twisting things, right? Listen. I believe either side of this, older women or younger women, you can either be a great benefit to the church or they could be a great hindrance. That's just flat out. You can write me letters later. That goes for men and women, the younger or older. You can be a benefit, or you can be a thorn. Saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry. Listen, they don't have to get remarried. All right? If they are sold out to the Lord and they don't feel led to being married, Paul talks about celibacy. I believe that's perfectly fine. But he's saying in general, a lot of them, it's probably better for them to remarry so they don't burn with lust, right? Right? It's scriptural. Is it not scriptural? Okay. Just making sure we're all still awake on a kind of gloomy Sunday morning. It looks gloomy out to me. Anyhow. Moving on. So I counsel younger widows to marry to have children. So I don't think he's talking about women that are 55 or 59 and a half here, okay? He's talking about younger widows. So I counsel younger widows to marry to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Don't open doors for him. Listen, we're to pray not to be tempted. Don't open doors and give him room to work in your life and in your family. Right? Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. He makes another comment similar to that in chapter 6. He says, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Listen, because of time, I'm not going to hang here long. I'll say this. I believe there's a big difference between somebody backsliding and somebody turning from their faith. There's a big difference. There's a lot of people that have accepted Jesus. They love the Lord, hit some hard times, and they backslide. There are people, though, that claim whether they truly accepted or not, that's the argument. I don't know. I'm not the judge of their heart. But claim that they have, and when they turn from him and when they turn to another faith, when they reject Christ and they turn to another faith and they follow someone else, that's a scary place to be. I'll just say that's a scary place to be. Amen? Scary. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. He says, if any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, right? So if you have widows in your family, it's our job to take care of them. Again, he repeats it. He says, we take care of them. The family takes care of them. Don't leave it on the burden on the church. But if they don't have that, then the church picks it up. The church has a responsibility. Family members have a responsibility. And the widow has responsibility. All parts of this have a responsibility. If any woman who is a believer, and again, he's talking about she needs to be a believer, she's part of the family. Again, we talked about that in Galatians, right? We're called to help all people as we have opportunity to, but especially those in the body of believers, in the family. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. I believe widows, even though that they experience one of the most painful, traumatic, hard things in life, I believe that only through God, you know, he makes roses come out of ashes, only through God he can take that and he can take them because they have time and energy and wisdom and insight and turn it and let it blossom into a beautiful thing where they are sold out to him and to the church. They are very beneficial to the church. Again, their time, their energy, their wisdom, and they're sold out to him. They don't have a lot of distractions for him, where they're sold out to him. But they also, if they don't use it and focus it on God, they can also be a hindrance. They can do damage. Make the drama fly. Again, a huge asset with their time, talents, focus on Christ. Not called to be busybodies, idle and gossip. Because of time, I'm going to stop with this. There's so much you could say. You could go to Romans, where we've been studying Bible study, and bring that in here, and I wanted to, but I'm not going to do it. I'll say this. I believe that there's a real need out there. I believe as a church, we're to take care of the orphans and the widows. We're called to be the hands and feet, not just pretend it, not just to talk about it. We're called to put our faith in action. That goes for the church. Again, that goes for us as family members, because I believe we're called to put our faith in action. I believe it starts in a family. It doesn't stop there, but starts there. The church needs to put its faith in action. The family needs to put its faith in action. The widows need to put their faith in action. But there's another side to this I want to mention quickly. We just talked about the widow being sold out for Christ. All of us are called to be sold out for Christ. All of us. And not just widows can be helpful or hurtful to the church. Anybody can be helpful or hurtful to the church. So my point is this. Are you sold out for Christ? And are you helping and serving and building the church? Or are you being a thorn in its side? My prayer is that we all be the body of Christ, sold out for Him. Because He's called us to. And listen, closing, not because you're guilted into it, not because I'm telling you to, not because you feel you have to, but because you love Him. Listen, that's the key. That's the key. I'll stop here. That's the key. It's not because Pastor Micah or Pastor Stein or Pastor Bailey or Pastor Keck tell you to. It's because you love Him. You want to do it. When you want to do something, it's way different than when you feel you have to do it. May you want to serve Him because you love Him. May you love Him like that. Father God, help us to love You like that. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. If you will, please stand. You're going to have to give us a second to get the projector on. Never mind.
my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are.
Our rock, our strength. Send us out these doors to the mission field around us as your light, as your people, as your church, with our faith in action because of our deep, passionate love for you. And all God's people said, amen.